T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode. We're joined by my buddy Bob Scanlon from Fox Sports San Diego. They're a great sideline analyst, and every once in a while dives in the 97.3 The Fan radio booth. And Bob, how are you today, buddy?
Coach, I'm doing great, my man. How are you today? Everything good?
I'm doing great. I was a little frustrated there in the eighth inning last night. My man, Andres Munoz, found out if you throw a straight 100-mile-an-hour fastball to major league hitters, it may not come back to you.
You know, that was interesting to watch, and he had just dominated, basically. Nobody had touched him. He hadn't given up a home run in 85 previous plate appearances. And then all of a sudden, as you said, he found out that, you know, when teams are looking for it and you're facing hitters that can catch up to that fastball, and Chris Bryant and Jason Hayward and some of those Cubs players, I mean, they're legitimate, established major league hitters that can catch up to mistakes in the zone. And it was a good learning lesson for him. And fortunately, it ended up not costing the Padres the ball club of the ball game. But this is part of the learning process that young players go through. And especially when you're starting to play better teams that are in a playoff hunt. And I think that's part of the reason why this is such an interesting September for the Padres, even though they're not in the hunt right now. 15 of the next 18 games that they play are against teams that have a chance to go to the postseason. And these teams are good teams, otherwise they wouldn't be in that position. These teams are hungry teams because they're not locked in those positions. So you're going to see the best lineups of guys that are giving it everything they've got to win that baseball game. And that's exactly the experience you want your young players to get. So Munoz yesterday, does he get his ears pinned back a little bit? Yes. Is it a good learning experience for him? Absolutely. So it was fun to watch big league hitters catch up to 100-mile-an-hour fastballs. It can be done. But he's learning that, you know, against the better teams and against the better hitters, no matter how hard you throw, you still have to locate.
Bob, I couldn't agree with you more. And I want to get to Bolaños here in a second. But something came up last night when I was watching the game. And you and I were texting a little bit back and forth last night during the game. But, you know, and for old-time fans, they probably will understand this a little bit better than maybe a younger fan who hasn't experienced it. But, you know, they throw out baseball so often now. I mean, it's amazing how many baseballs they go through in a ball game day in and day out. But last night, both catchers, a ball would skip, and they would automatically throw it to the dugout. They wouldn't make the umpire say, hey, I want the ball, or the umpire then would throw it out and throw in a new ball. To me, in the old days, and I know when I was catching as an amateur, you know, I wanted a little bit of a scuffed-up baseball for my pitcher to be able to maybe do a few tricks with it. But now, even when the umpires aren't asking to throw the ball out, the catchers throw the ball out.
Well, it's become automatic, Coach, and you're absolutely right. Back when we played, in fact, the catchers would do little tricks. Like, I always remember when my catcher would purposely throw the ball down to second base on that last throw before you start the inning, and he'd throw it low, and the shortstop would scoop it out, and they'd throw it around the horn, and I'd get it and have a perfect little scuff on for me, and I could start the inning running the ball on the right-hander's hand. But, you know, a lot of that has been noticed now, and hitters have gotten much more picky about making sure that every ball is checked and anytime they see it. So it's not so much that the catchers have lost the importance of having a scuff on the ball or taking advantage. Another one is that would drive me crazy. You would jam a guy really bad, and with all the pine tar that these players use nowadays, sometimes the ball would go out to shortstop with pine tar on it. They'd throw it to first base, and then the first baseman would record the out, and he'd motion to the umpire, hey, this ball's got some pine tar on it, and he'd throw it out. I'd look at him and go, give me that ball. Give me the ball with the scuff. Give me the ball with a little bit of pine tar on it. We'll take any advantage we can get until that ball is taken out of play. But it's just become so automatic now where the hitters, as soon as they hear contact with the dirt, they ask the umpire. So I don't blame the catchers for not knowing. I just think it's become so routine that every ball is checked that they're just like, I'm not going to waste everybody's time. Let's just get rid of this one and get on to the next pelota.
Bob Scanlon joining me from Fox Sports San Diego. He'll be back at it again tonight out there at Petco Park. Bob, Ronald Bolaños making his second major league start. You know what it was like to be a young pitcher out there on the mound. And, you know, I like the kid's makeup on the mound. He doesn't look like he's scared. He's not nervous. Last night, he was just all over the place. Maybe a case of not trusting his stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting. So we saw in his first outing a really interesting dynamic of this kid kind of knows what he's doing with varying the speeds on mm-hmm. his fastball, varying the breaks on his breaking ball. He's very confident out there. He was not intimidated at all in his major league debut. In fact, he had runners on base to start the inning in three of those innings, and he worked out of it. So you see a kid that's confident in his stuff. The other interesting thing about that outing, Coach, and you may have noticed this, there were a few times where he was shaking his head on the mound. How uh-huh. often do you see a kid making his major league debut with a catcher of the quality of Austin Hedges back there, and he's shaking off signs? So this kid, he's confident in himself. He's confident in what he's doing out there, but he's still young, and there's two things that he's still trying to figure out. Number one, in terms of the manipulation of the baseball, game number one, we saw him change the shape of his slider. From early in the game, it was a little bit harder. It was a little bit more horizontal. And then later in the game, he started to realize, look, I'm getting more swings and misses out of taking a little bit off of my slider, having a little bit more downward tilt on it, almost like a curveball in some ways. And credit to him for seeing that and picking it up. But here's the thing. Over time, you need to learn when it's time to do that. You need to learn when it's time in the part of the game to stick with your best stuff. You know, now is not the time for the 94-mile-an-hour fastball. Now is the time for the 98. Now is not the time for the get-me-over slider. Now is the time for the put-away one. Now is the time for me to think I know what I'm doing, but at 22 and with two games under my belt, Austin Hedges is calling for the fastball in right here. I'm going to go with what the catcher calls. So we love that this kid has confidence in himself, love the fact that he's already knows how to manipulate the ball and make it do different things. Now it's just the maturation process of, okay, how do I start manipulating the ball the way I want to? How do I do it at the appropriate time? How do I take the scouting reports and the knowledge that I'm gaining from Austin Hedges back there and combine that with my own trust in what I have on the mound? Because, again, we've talked about it before, Coach, right? It's better to be 100% committed to the wrong pitch than only 85% committed to a pitch that may be right, but you're not that convinced. He's figuring it all out, and I think we saw a little bit of that going on last night of you know, there's going to be some bumps in the road before he figures out, okay, this is what I need to do with the baseball. This is the time to do it. Yes, I'm confident in what I want to do, but now is the time for me to put my trust in what I want to do aside, because Austin Hedges knows what he's doing back there, and he sees something that I don't know. So it's fun to watch. It's electric stuff. It's a kid that has confidence. It's a kid that knows how to manipulate the ball, and it's going to be fun to watch him continue to grow.
Bob Scanlon joined me on 97.3 The Fan. Will Myers, all of a sudden starting to find that stroke, a 10-game hitting streak, another knock last night.
You know, good for Will. And I know there's going to be a bunch of fans that say, oh, yeah, we've seen this before where he gets hot and then he goes cold again, gets hot. And we don't know how this is going to play out, but we do know that Will has always hit well in the month of September. In fact, I asked him yesterday about it. He goes, I don't know. I have no idea why I've hit well in September, but I'm not going to question it. I have. But what we do know is that he's definitely had a better approach to the baseball over the last several weeks. And now it's starting to turn into the numbers that you just described. And he's done a lot of work with Johnny Washington and Damian Easley. They've made some changes. He doesn't want to talk about it, which is fine. Again, I was trying to pick his brain a little bit last night. I said, well, look, there's no question that you are driving the ball to center field better. You're hitting the ball opposite field better. And we've seen enough of Will over the last few years to know that that is when he's at his best. He's getting the fastballs on the inside part of the plate, not being jammed with them, but able to still stay inside and drive them opposite field. So he has made some changes. And I asked him about it yesterday. He said, yeah, you're right, we have, but I just want to keep it to myself, which I totally respect, you know. But good for him. And credit to him and to Jay Wash and to Damian Easley for continuing to work over the course of the year. Will's tried a bunch of different things, but clearly what he has found is working for him over the last several weeks. And hopefully this is a good sign. Finish the season strong and take this Will Myers that we know is in there into next season, because how much different might this season have been if Will Myers had just been Will Myers? I think, quite a bit different. So we'll see how it goes.
Hey, Bobby, I got a couple of other quick questions for you. We're joined by Bob Scanlon. Luis Urias got his average over 200 now. He's up to 208, a 3-for-5 night. What are you seeing out of him right now?
You know, he's still figuring it out at the big league level, and it's a big jump for some guys facing big league pitching, and it's not just the location is more consistent, but it's the stuff. You're seeing guys that throw harder. You're seeing breaking balls that break more. And, you know, he's still making adjustments, I think, in his approach at the plate with his mechanics specifically to try to give himself a better chance to catch up to some of these harder fastballs and not be overexposed on these breaking balls, trying to cheat to get to that harder fastball. So we're seeing some adjustments. I think the growth in him is going to continue to have to take place during this offseason in terms of what he's working on. But you know, we're seeing signs of going in the right direction. The defense has been, you know, questionable at times at shortstop. I think that's something that Andy Green has commented on. And the kid's been solid all throughout the minor leagues, but everything's faster up here, Coach. Everything just happens more quickly. And I think we're seeing the game has sped up on him a little bit, but we're also seeing him starting to adjust to it, and hopefully that growth continues.
Bob, last question I have for you. Hunter Renfro, we've all been sitting around here going, what's going on with this guy? He's not hitting, he's not playing. And then all of a sudden we find out amazingly that he's been dealing with a right ankle problem. He's got an arm problem. He's hit 4 homers since July 6th. He's at 169 since the All-Star break with a 260 on base percentage, a 291 slug percentage. And well, I'll tell you, this guy kind of been getting beat up, but they finally came out yesterday and said the guy's been hurt.
It answers a lot of questions for us, doesn't it? I mean, because Hunter was doing so well, and when you see a guy struggle the way he has lately, I think 2 for his last 26 to sort of add on to the struggle numbers that you just listed. But it certainly explains everything, or not everything, but at least a lot of it. And we learned a lot about Hunter with Andy's announcement yesterday in terms of a kid who never once made any suggestion at all during this time that, hey, I'm hurt right now. My elbow is hurting. My ankle is hurting. At this time of the season, everybody is battling through stuff. There's nobody that's on the field right now 100% healthy. Everybody's got a ding, a nick, a soreness, something that they've been nursing all season long. They're just trying to get down to the end of the stretch. But to his credit, he never used it as an excuse. He just kept going out there and trying to say, look, I think I can compete today. So he's a tough kid. He's been going through a lot, and Andy gave us the two things, the elbow and the ankle, but you got the impression that there were some other things that, in the background going on as well. The good news out of all this is none of this is long-term. None of it is serious. It's just the wear and tear of a season. They're hoping that give him 4 or 5 days off, let some of these things heal up, and he can continue to have a strong finish to the season. But at least we sort of have an answer as to why there was this precipitous drop-off. Which is good news because you feel like, okay, all the things that he had worked on to make himself a better hitter haven't just all of a sudden disappeared. He just doesn't have the body to be able to compete with it right now. So hopefully he gets healthy and we see that early season Hunter finish off the last couple of weeks.
Bobby, great stuff. And go at it again tonight there with Fox Sports San Diego, my friend.
Looking forward to it, Coach. Always great to talk to you, my friend. Take care.
Thanks for downloading the John Quintero Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.